Well, happy Thanksgiving one more time to you all. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, it's so wonderful to give thanks, and it's so wonderful to receive thanks. I got this wonderful package. It says, thank you, Emmanuel Church. And there was a nice little note inside. It's from Mount Bushri Secondary School. And it is a thank you card. Don't you love getting thank you cards? I love getting thank you cards. It just affirms life. It's just a beautiful thing, getting a card and hearing people saying, hey, thanks. And it says this, dear Jeff, thank you for valuing our MBS students and allowing your youth team to invest their time with them. Many students struggle to find their place in school. Links between their weekends and weekdays are invaluable. With thanks, from Mount Bushri School. Isn't that a neat thank you card to get? I think what's even cooler is that there's an apple, and there's some candies in there. And my guess is this has very little to do with me and everything to do with our youth ministries, but we'll share them at staff. It's wonderful to be thanked, and it's wonderful to be thankful. It's the Canadian Thanksgiving, and if you've got some American roots, you'd know that American Thanksgiving is a very different time of the year, and there's all sorts of debates about who came first, and of course, I'm not sure that Americans would care much at all about the argument, but as Canadians, we're pretty insecure about our brothers and sisters to the South, and so it's very important for us to know that the Canadian Thanksgiving started much earlier than American Thanksgiving, way before pilgrims ever came over to the land. We had Frobisher, if you remember Frobisher, the privateer that helped explore Frobisher Bay and all that stuff. Apparently, he was on a third trip to pull all this gold and resources from Canada or the territories. And while he was on that trip, one of his boats sunk, and it was a bit of a devastating journey. And so when he got to some dry land, he had a Thanksgiving dinner. And apparently, that's when that started, which was way back in 1578, where the earliest Thanksgiving is 1621. So there you go. Canadian Thanksgiving is much earlier than American Thanksgiving. And right now, if there were Americans here spying on Canada and wondering what makes Canadians tick, they will be very confused that got some applause. My guess is it probably has something to do also with the harvest. In Canada, it's a little bit colder than most of the states, and so our harvest starts a little bit earlier. And so we thank God at the time of the harvest. And it started out as a religious holiday. Most people in Canada now would say Thanksgiving is when you're thankful and you eat lots of big food, big chickens, apparently. We eat lots of food. But it was a religious holiday. At the harvest, you say it is God who we thank for his good gifts, for his great deeds. And so we are thankful on Thanksgiving. Now, of course, we're supposed to be thankful all the time. In fact, it's something that our parents teach us at a very early age. They teach us when something's given to us, we're supposed to say thank you. We're supposed to say thank you all the time. Every time somebody gave something to you, your parents whispering into your ear, say thank you. Say thank you. Yes, thank you, thank you. And you're just excited about whatever they're giving you, or maybe not. Grandma knits you a sweater and you're not quite sure about the colors, and mom whispers in your ear, say thank you. And you say thank you. Why do we say thank you? Why are we supposed to say thank you to everybody that gives us something? Because it's polite. That's right. Because it's the polite thing to do. That's what we do. Canadians are polite. We say thank you for everything. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's because it's the polite thing to do. I want to talk a little bit more about thankfulness beyond the polite thing to do. I believe that gratitude is fundamental to the Christian faith. I believe that it's more than just being polite. I think it's an expression. Here's a definition for you. It's an expression. You're expressing appreciation for someone's input into your life. Pretty simple definition, isn't it? Thankfulness, gratitude. You're expressing appreciation for someone's input into your life. And here's a verse that tells us about how we should live out our gratitude. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says this. Give thanks in all circumstances. Oh, that's a difficult word, that all. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. It's his will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul is talking to the church. He's saying, give thanks in all circumstances. This is what God's will is. This is what his intention is. This is what his desire for his people is. Because we have Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are thankful. And we're thankful in all circumstances. You want to be a healthy person? Be thankful. You want to have a healthy church? Be a thankful people. You want to be a person of joy. You want to be a person with hope, a person with peace. It starts with being thankful. There's something about being thankful that helps give the right perspective in life. We need to be a thankful people. It's more than being polite. It's part of the core of our being. Grateful hearts is a phrase that's often used in the scripture. We want to have grateful hearts. Not just words that we're saying, but it comes right out of our being. Thank you. And who do we say thank you to? Well, we say thank you to God. You know, thankfulness comes a little late in the scriptures in some ways. I was expecting the word thankfulness to come a little bit more often in the book of Genesis, but we really see it in the early beginnings in the language of an offering of thanksgiving. It appears in Leviticus, where they are saying, if you want to give an offering of thanksgiving, you bake some bread and give it to the priest, and he sacrifices it as unto the Lord. So you get this language of thanksgiving as an offering, and it comes with this wonderful symbol, this symbol of bread. Who likes bread? And all the gluten-free people say, amen. I love bread. Love is beautiful. Love is beautiful. Bread is beautiful too. They're both beautiful. Love is probably more beautiful than bread now that I think about it. But bread is beautiful. And in this offering of Thanksgiving, they're supposed to bake bread that both has yeast in it and bake bread that has no yeast in it. And they give both kinds of bread and they give it to the priest and they say, thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. Bread is such an amazing symbol of thankfulness, because you're saying bread is our nutrition. Bread is our sustenance. It's what keeps us alive. And so when you're giving a sacrifice of praise or of thanksgiving, you're giving bread because you're saying thank you for being our nourishment. You think of the Lord's Prayer. It says, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. It's right there. Be our sustenance. Thank you for looking after us. And so you get this thankfulness towards God. And it begins with these offerings of thanksgiving. But it's always pointed towards God. It's always directed towards God. More often than not, especially in the Old Testament, you see this phrasing of being thankful to God for his character. His character that produces deeds and a particular response towards us. Why are we thankful? We're thankful to God for his character. And we see this phrasing over and over again in the Old Testament. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34, it says, give thanks, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. We're talking about his character. We give great thanks. We are thankful, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Verse after verse after verse. It goes on like a mantra, especially throughout the Psalms. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. You see other verses that talk about why we are thankful towards God. In Psalm chapter 7, it says we are thankful to God because of his righteousness, his right ways of doing things. We're thankful to God. It says in Psalms 118, because God, you have answered and you have been my salvation. In Psalm 119, it says, I am thankful to you, O God, because of your righteous laws. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be thankful for? Thank you, God, for your rules. It continues on into the New Testament. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, we give thanks to God because he gives us victory through Jesus Christ. We are thankful for God for sending Jesus Christ and giving us victory. And near the end of the two testaments in Revelation chapter 11, we hear this wonderful language being spoken saying, we give thanks to God because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. We're thankful that there is a kingdom of God, that it is at hand, that we do get glimpses of it, and we are grateful and thankful for that. Isn't that a great thing to be thankful for? God's character and God's goodness. In fact, maybe we should practice that mantra a little bit. We thank God. It wouldn't be great if we as a Christian community right now just said, because of his goodness and his love is forever. Let me get that phrasing right so you know exactly what I want you to say. Give thanks, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. So you get to say, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. I'm going to say, give thanks, and you say, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Give thanks. I didn't really hear you. Give thanks, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. That felt good, didn't it? It felt good. We thank God for his character. Let's be grateful for his character, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. We see the language of thanking God for his goodness and his character. We see it also in provision. We see most often in the New Testament, giving thanks is done over a meal. In fact, Jesus gives thanks quite a lot. Throughout the Gospels, you see this idea of him breaking bread, the sustenance, the nutrition. It says he broke the bread. He blessed it, he gave thanks, and then he distributed it. What's really interesting is he broke bread and gave thanks at the feeding of the 5,000. Right before he was doing this miraculous miracle showing how the good king feeds his people, he also breaks bread and blesses it and gives thanks at the Last Supper. At that time where the king says, I will sacrifice my whole body to be sustenance for the people. Beautiful language. God brings provision. And I think that that's really the whole scale of things when we say grace at dinner. And if you're having dinner today or dinner tomorrow, you had it last night, I hope at some point in time you will or you have done this, that you will gather around that table, hold hands, or do something that brings you into community and gets your attention together. And you go, Lord, we are thankful for the provision that you gave us through Jesus Christ. This great food is a reminder, not just that we're hungry and that we need to fill our bellies, but this food is a reminder that you are our sustenance because the Lord is good and his love endures forever. And the last theme you see most often in scriptures when it comes to what we're thanking God for is where I'd like to spend a bit of time today before we close our service. Is this idea of thanking God for providing friends of the faith. I want to put a little bit more time into that because I'm not sure how often we reflect on that and how important it is for our Christian faith. To actually say, Lord, we are thankful to you for the people that you bring into our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 says, I always thank my God, this is Paul speaking, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, I'm so thankful that you found Jesus too. I'm so thankful that you're living out this Christian life too. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 says, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Paul does not stop thanking God for the blessing of the Christian community, for the blessing of friends in the faith, for the blessing of those that are showing the example of how to live for Jesus. Thanking God for what he is up to in the lives of people, that's what we thank God for. You know, gratitude helps us remind people that what they do is important. It's really important to express thankfulness. You know, we all do a lot of work. We all do a lot of things for other people. I would hope so. Yet we live in a world where sometimes our actions and activities aren't overly noticed. And sometimes we wonder, in a world that seems to become more and more meaningless, in a society that seems to go, I'm not sure what anything means, we start to wonder if our own tasks have any importance to anybody. Thankfulness, especially in the Christian community, is such a beautiful way of saying to others, what you do matters. What you do matters. What you do is still important. Your contributions are worth it. Keep up the good work. I'm grateful for what you do. Gratitude also helps us to remember the value of others. I've said the expression many times before. I'll say it again. How did a turtle get on top of a fence post? A turtle can't get on top of a fence post by themselves. And there's no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. We all got where we are today because people spoke into our lives. And people gave us opportunity. And we need to value others. You see, I believe that decency erodes when we do not value the contribution of others. And if we look at our society as a whole and you're wondering, whatever happened to civility? Whatever happened to decency? I wonder if we have somehow along the way forgotten how to be grateful to others. I think we've had a little bit of a cup half empty syndrome thing going on. A cup half empty kind of syndrome. It's this idea that when people do something for us or where we interact with people, we think maybe they have something in for us. Maybe they have something that they want revenge for, or maybe they don't really have our best interests at heart. So there seems to be this deep suspicion of people, and maybe it's because we get hurt as a society. Maybe people don't always treat us very well, and we start to get a little suspicious of people, but we think that people have it out for us. They're upset. They don't really have our best interests at heart. And so we don't necessarily treat people with gratitude. Maybe some of us think that we are owed what people give to us. Oh, well, that person should have given me that. That's what I deserve. That's the kind of thing that I should have. I think of what we see happening in grocery stores and in, on sidewalks and street corners, where there was a time where you could drop a $10 bill and you'd see somebody drop the $10 bill and you quickly pick it up and you give it to the person. And now you go, well, that was that person's fault for dropping it. And so you pick up the $10 bills and goes, yeah, I found it. I get to keep it. And so we start to think as a society, maybe just everybody owes us something. I try to tell my children, saying, hey, remember, nobody owes you anything. You've got Jesus. You owe the world to him. So just be thankful. Be grateful. I've often said in pastoral ministry, Emmanuel Church doesn't owe me a thing. I've got an amazing job. I've got an amazing church. I've got amazing friends. They don't owe me a thing. Can't look at people all the time as if they'd owe us something. And quite frankly, maybe decency and the lack of decency that we see in our society today might have something to do that people simply are no longer important anymore. They're just a number. They're just a consumer. They're just a server. They're just a person without a soul or a personality or a family. And we have lost some of our value of people. And friends, what this is doing to us as a society as a whole is it's simply making us sick. It's making us sick. Studies have shown that a grumpy society is a sick society. Studies have shown that a society that does not value other people or the contributions of other people actually is a sick society. And it manifests itself through actual tangible sicknesses like stress, like mental illness, like broken relationships. And that's why this morning, if I've got one intention this morning on a Sunday morning, Thanksgiving Sunday at Emmanuel Church, is to give us a good dose of healthy thankfulness. Healthy gratitude. To say, we want to be healthy people under the eyes of God. And studies say that actually gratitude is tangibly good for your body. In fact, I couldn't quote, there's too many studies for me to quote. As you just take a good look, throw it online, all the different ways that thankfulness actually helps you be healthy. Studies have shown that it literally combats stress. If you're under stress, but you sit down and go, Lord, what am I thankful for? The parts of your body start to change and your chemistry of the body starts to change. It builds up emotional resilience when you've heard bad news and you're struggling with chaos. And all of a sudden you go, I'm thankful though, Lord, that you are still with me. I'm thankful for the people that surround me. And you start to count your blessings. It helps to actually build resilience in your life. It fosters connection. There's something amazing that happens in community when we gather together and we're thankful to one another. I mentioned right off the top, if we want to be a healthy body of Christ, if we are thankful to one another, there will be a joy here. There will be a hope that's manifested. There will be a shalom, a peace that takes place because it literally helps build connections. It's hard to be angry with the people that you're thankful for. It helps literally with better sleep. It decreases the blood pressure. There's this saying in amongst neuroscientists that they say neurons that fire together wire together. Sometimes when you're going through anxiety or depression, your mind's going in all sorts of different areas and you got circular thinking and you're fixating on things that you don't want to fixate on and you've got your fight or flight going on and you just feel like running. Well, if you can get your thoughts all into one good thought, those neurons will fire together and it actually can change your mind. And so I remember going through my own bouts of panic attacks, and the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, thank you, God, for my family. Thank you for my kids. Thank you, Lord, for my church. Thank you for my neighborhood. Thank you that I won the lottery, even though I don't gamble. I won the lottery for being born in Canada. Thank you, Lord, that I can worship God on a Sunday morning without fear. Thank you, Lord, that I have food on my table. Thank you, Lord, that it's sunny outside. Thank you, Lord. It's amazing. The neurons just start firing together, and they stay together, and the blood pressure goes down, and the heart starts to calm, and the anxiety dissipates. Thankfulness is good for the soul. Cognitive therapy, I think, is what it's called, and the Bible is chock full of cognitive therapy. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know that phrase, whatever? Most of the time, whatever is that phrase where it's a bit dismissive. Whatever. Whatever. It's one of those things that we actually use when we're not being grateful. Whatever. Oh, that person's annoying me. Whatever. Oh, that person's trying to get my attention. Whatever. Whatever. It's a dismissive word. Not so in the scriptures. Whatsoever. Whatever. Is mentioned like something like 175 times in scripture. And almost every time it's mentioned, it has something to do with obedience or something to do with blessing. If you're going to live for Jesus, you live wherever. If you're going to think about the things of God, it's in whatever areas you can think about them, no matter whether it's in good times or in bad times, with good people or difficult people, in times where you have fears and times when you have worries, in times when you're celebrating and you feel at the top of the world, whatever, whatever, whatever is the phrase in scripture that says, all of this life, I am going to think of what God has done for me. My God is a good God, and his love endures forever. Paul admired his friends. And I love at the end of each book or letter that he's written, he talks about different people that he wants the church to greet, or people he wants the church to acknowledge. And in Romans, you get this wonderful language of him just commending his friends to others. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. I'm grateful for her, Paul is saying. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Amplitus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. And greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. And greet some really hard names, Asyncritus and Phlegon and Hermes and Patrobus and Hermas and the other brothers and sisters with them. Maybe he had problems with names too. Greet Philologus, Julia and Nereus and his sister Olympus and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. We don't read that part very often. We usually get to the end of Romans and, okay, that's when he just talks about friends and names I can't pronounce. But he's grateful. And he's grateful to God for his friends. And when I think on that, what Paul is doing at the end of Romans, I think, where would I be if it wasn't for faithful people in my life? Where would I be without my mom and dad, who to this day continue to pray for me every single day? Where would I be without my siblings who continue to allow iron to sharpen iron, continue to help me learn who I am and maybe learn some of the worst traits of myself? Where would I be without teachers who didn't give up on me when I quit high school in grade 10 because of bullying? Where would I be where it wasn't for students who were in the fourth year of Bible college when I was a scaredy cat going into college not knowing how to handle the big city of Abbotsford coming from Little Invermere and guys just put their arm around me and my shoulder and said, we'll help you out, man. Where would I be without pastors who listened to me, listened to my ideologies, listened to my pontifications and still kind of liked me? Where would I be with friends, without friends that support me? Support me when things are good. Support me when things are miserable. Where would I be? Where would you be? Where would we be as a church if we didn't have the volunteers that we have? If we didn't have people on Sunday morning that would be greeting and ushering, if we didn't have a sound person, a media person, someone leading worship, someone helping out with faith at home, where would we be if we didn't have Sunday school teachers and if we didn't have youth leaders? Where would we be if we didn't have someone looking after our young adults? Where would we be if we didn't have men's ministry coordinators and women's ministry coordinators and seniors ministry coordinators? Where would we be when we're in crisis and we don't have people visiting us in the hospital? And where would we be? We didn't have small groups and coffee times and people that care for us. Where would we be? We need to be thankful. Thankful for the friends of the faith that God gives us. Paul was grateful for those that contributed to his life. And I am grateful to the Lord for, well, all of you. And I want us to practice something today at the end of our service where we can actually go through the steps of reminding ourselves to be grateful for others, grateful to others, others that God has given us. And if you had bulletins today, you'll notice there's a little heart in the bulletin. If you don't have a bulletin, you don't have a little heart, there's a bunch of little hearts right along the front here of the altar. And what I'm going to encourage you to do is you'll see there's markers. And I just want you to think of the words, I am grateful to the Lord for. I'm grateful to the Lord for. And I just want you to write that down. I'm grateful to the Lord for my wife, Nikki. And then if you take that heart, come down, you'll see some tape there at the front. Put a loop of tape, put it on the back of the heart, stick it on the front of the altar, and let's fill this altar with grateful hearts. Because as Paul says in Colossians 3:16, he says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. One more thing I'd encourage you to do. We're going to watch a little music video that reminds us of being thankful. And as that video is showing, I encourage you, start coming out. Fill out your heart. Paste it to the front. But don't just write out a heart, paste it to the front, and walk away. Take a moment, sometime today or tomorrow, to reach out to the people that you're thankful for, to call them up, to drop them an email, send them a text, write them a letter, and just say, I thank God for you. Let us be a thankful people with grateful hearts, showing the world that God is good and his love endures forever.